Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
You're always going to be away.
Yeah.
Yeah, I probably that's my life. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That is my life. But anyway.
Plus, you're hard to be around anyway, so. I mean, that.
It was. What's that? That what? Excuse me?
Excuse me.
You'll
He's
love this.
Not hard you'll, to be around.
What did he say?
He said, plus, you're starting at a baseline of being hard to be around anyway.
Yeah, okay. So, well, thanks for making it in this afternoon.
Oh,
well,
at
your age, that's fine. Yeah. I think that I get it. It's very responsible, and I'm sure Shannon appreciates that.
I don't think she understands it. If she knew the ramifications of our policy, she'd probably kill me tomorrow.
If you're talking about everybody that comes in gives you this, this name, if she's over the top with it, whether she's a little more negative about it.
Oh, if you don't mind me asking, like, what do you do for a living? And then,
she can go to hell.
I was like,
wow,
this is weird. It was
I look
so
at her and
weird.
Go, oh, I'm glad you asked. I gold brick.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Welcome to The Mike O'Mara Show, enjoying our second decade of fabulous fun with you, The Mike O'Mara Show listeners. We're heard in Safford, Arizona, Harvard Grace. Always found that I've been reading that town for a million years.
Yeah,
because most of my early career was in the great state of Maryland. Always found it interesting. Havre de Grace.
It's French, Havre. You know.
Havre de Grace, Maryland. Santa Clara, California, named after a character from Bewitched, Aunt Clara.
Exactly, and her doorknob collection.
Who was my favorite character on Bewitched, and I'm old enough to know Bewitched. Whole show will be about my age today. Marshall, Virginia. I know that place, too. That's out a little past past Warrenton, Virginia.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's a very, very rural, nice area.
Lovely.
You should see it sometime. Minnesota City, Minnesota. Well, that's silly. Buenos Aires, Argentina. A city I want to visit.
Yes.
It's on the list. Don't know if I'll ever travel. Like, I've wanted to travel in my life, but I'd love to see it. There are a few cities in front of it. And I don't know.
Like Minnesota City?
Well, you know, we get done with COVID, and then there's war. So
yeah, I know.
You know, it's tough to you know, it's really, really wreaking havoc on my travel plan. No. Whatever. It is what it is. Welcome to the show. Mm-hmm. Very interesting weekend with, keeping an eye on the news and all that good stuff. But I have to start the show today to tell you that a very unusual experience for me is there are multiple people that I have kept in contact with during my life.
Listeners?
Listeners would be on the list, I'm sure. Okay. People mm-hmm. that I recognize.
Loved ones?
That's
family?
That's a family. Well, that goes without saying.
Okay. Depends.
But, to be honest with you.
He's looking for
family,
trouble, Mike.
He is and he is, but he knows me.
Yeah.
And he knows the way I feel and he listens to the way I talk about
that.
There's, my family is, my sister, contact. Regular contact. And my sister's going to visit her this next month.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, going to be see her and then probably see her again a couple of times a year. My daughters, yes, regular. But as far as my friend from my hometown, he moved out of my hometown. We've tried to touch base over a couple of years. But since the big 40th reunion, we haven't gotten a chance to do that. But still sporadic. Communication.
Was the 40th right before COVID? I'm trying to place it on the timeline. It seems like it was.
It's class of 7. It was right before, but it was a year before.
Okay.
2 years before. It was 2017.
So not so close.
I was class of 77. So that's what it was. But there's a radio guy from my earliest, very first commercial radio station that I ever worked at. And the guy's name is Dave. And Dave and I have... there would be years where we wouldn't have any contact. And then occasionally he'll reach out. And because of this wonderful social media, you see what's going on. And if you friend somebody on a social media platform, you can keep dibs on them and you kind of get a cursory. But I'm talking about decades and decades and decades. And this is a guy I have known since 1980, 80, 81. Mm. This goes back that far.
So you're looking at over 40 years.
This is a 40-year. And
these are Rascals 2 days.
Yeah. Raffles.
Oh, not Rascals.
Was it Raffles 2? Yeah, would have been Raffles. Yeah, because Raffles.
Yeah.
It's certainly in that time frame.
Mm-hmm.
This is pre going down to Annapolis, Maryland. Mm-hmm. This is the first. This is where they still, a little tiny radio station, they'd still make you wear blazers.
Yeah. Just like these podcasts.
The good guys.
You'd go to a Kmart and you would still wear a blazer.
The WOHN good guys?
The WOHN. And he gave me a great line. Dave was there before, a little bit before I was. He gave me a great line. It was Herndon, Virginia.
Yes.
This is the joy of it because something comes back and you don't realize what it is. He's WOHN and the guys that work there, the all young guys,
yeah,
said, "We offer Herndon nothing."
Oh, that's what it stood for?
I love that.
It was fantastic.
That is and great.
Nothing.
So I...
nada.
I've seen Dave. His children are grown. I know his wife. He's been married to the same woman for years. Wonderful woman, his wife, Kim. Got a chance to see her, too, because I wouldn't let him take an Uber. I dropped him off down at where he was staying. We played around
nice.
The golf together. And
is he a Florida guy now, or is he visiting?
No. He's a D.C. guy still. He's okay. Still... Arlington guy. Ooh. And he's still up there and it was so much fun because you don't realize, especially if it's a work contact, you don't realize the stories. And it was just old age is reuniting with somebody you've known for 40 years and, you know, kind of looking and said, is that him? I've seen him on social media, so I know what he looks like. And we just had the best day of remembering the early days of radio. And there's a guy that our program director, guy that hired me again, Chuck Dickman, who
I remember the name,
was my first program director. And then another, and he was down in Annapolis as well, hired me down there. So Chuck was very formative in my early career and just telling stories. And we had an amazing time. And it's just it just goes to show that if you keep in contact with somebody and then you have an opportunity to get together with them, do it because it's super fun.
But aren't there certain, there's a certain level or just a certain almost like a mindset. There are people that if you were to see, you could make small talk with. But then there are people that you sort of pick up with exactly where you were 20 years ago or 30 years ago.
And he's great. And he was smart enough to get out of the radio business early on, but he knows a million people. In the radio business that went on, and you know the radio business is so insane.
Mm-hmm.
Even at the lowest possible level, things like no, you have to come back for your shift. And he told a great story. I don't know what station he was working.
Oh, that
at,
resonated.
But
that
he worked at Extra. Remember Extra 104?
Sure.
Remember that?
Yeah.
WMZQ, a couple of stations like that before he changed careers. He told a great story about
WXTR, the great oldies.
He told a great story about working at a radio station in Cape Cod, doing the overnight shift, and going to a buddy's wedding. And he not only did he work at the radio station, but he worked at a business on the Cape. I think it was boat rentals. So he's burning both candles. And what did he do? He fell asleep overnight, and they actually called the cops to come to the radio station because he was sleeping like on the turntable. Great stories like that, you know, just wonderful.
Which just goes to show
radio stories.
If people want to get into the glamorous world of radio, know that you might need to offset your income by renting boats. That's really
welcome to the world
exactly,
of radio.
Precisely.
Our first owner of a radio station I ever worked with was a guy named Face.
Face.
We called Ernie. His name was Ernie, and he was an absentee owner. So he'd drive down. And I remember he had a weird little yellow sports car, and he would drive in periodically. And you see him; he's tiny. Like Oompa Loompa tiny with a giant head and a massive face. We called him Face.
Did his head bobble?
No, but it just was so, you know, you have the business, like little boy's business suit on, and then this giant head. And it was, you know, and it was cheap, like they all were at that level. And then just too much fun. Reminiscing about, it's my belief, and I think a lot of people would agree with me that are in this business, but I'm talking to you guys and you're in this business, that at a certain point when you tell somebody, a disc jockey in particular, not to do something, you're kind of inviting him to do it.
Of course, you're inviting
him. You know what I mean? I'm talking off air. And just amazing reminiscences of what a silly little business I've been in for so long. It's just very, very cool.
Is he totally out of the business now?
It has been for decades.
What's he doing now?
I believe he's in a real estate, commercial real estate type of business that he has been for years and years and years. Kids are grown.
That's great.
And it was just I can't even describe how much fun it was to do that. And I should do it more often. More fun doing that than going to a high school reunion. Because the high school, me, I was gone. I didn't go back and dwell on that. And everybody should have an opportunity to do that. And now when you guys are older like me, you'll probably have opportunities to do that. It's reminiscing is a lot of fun.
And a reunion is watered down because you get maybe, 80, 90 seconds with each person because there's a lot of people there. And if it's one-on-one, it's better.
Did I tell you when I went to my 48th reunion, somebody threw an ice cube at me? Mm. I still had the cruelty of the high school. And I'm like, and when you get that, at least for me, I'm like, okay, I just don't have any desire to be around that again. I don't. I mean, it's just childlike, kind of mean people.
Well, they're also mad about Carla.
Yeah.
She wasn't at the 40th, though. She was at the 30th. They're probably mad about
that. They did their research.
It just was.
What if I left click here?
That's his wife.
What?
Not connected, and maybe that is it. You know, I have no idea.
I think the jealousy factor doesn't.
That's silly if it's the case.
That doesn't leave people's bones.
Maybe you're right.
It won't help.
That's their DNA.
No, just there was at least at my 40th, not at my 25th. But at the 40th, there was a mean factor that was off-putting, that I found very odd at that advanced age. Just kind of like, and I'm not talking about over a combination of just a select group of people that are still living around town and had kind of an attitude.
Sure.
With a lack of knowledge of anybody anymore. It's that long ago. That was my experience with my 40th.
But you didn't regret going. It wasn't so bad that you regretted going, or?
Could have spent a better time at a weekend somewhere else.
I think there's something beautiful about reminiscing about the times you had in high school, but if that was the apex of your life.
That's the bitter people.
I can explain it. The people that seem to have the most fun were the people that are still living in town.
Because they're seeing their friends again.
Yeah, so that's kind of what it is.
Yeah,
so,
of course.
So they've had lifelong, and it's very similar to my experience where I travel up to see my family.
Yeah.
They've been there every year.
For 20 years, 30 years, 40, 50 years.
Big chunks of time, so it's not nearly as much.
You're always going to be from away.
Yeah.
Yeah, I probably that's my life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That is my life. But anyway,
plus, you're hard to be around anyway, so, I mean, that.
It was, what's that? That doesn't help. Excuse me.
You'll love this. He's not hard to be around.
What did he say?
Plus, you're starting at a baseline of being hard to be around anyway.
Yeah, okay. So, thanks for making it in this afternoon. getting back to that, what time did we get the text this morning?
I thought you were going to get over that.
Did we have a deal?
Yeah,
did we have a deal where I was supposed to get over
that? Start without me, and you said, no, I'll be okay as long as you tell me. See? Hard to be around.
8:58. 2 hard minutes to be before around. 9.
Yeah.
I rest my case.
8:58.
I don't ever recall a deal.
I said, start the show without me. Please, for the love of God.
No,
we don't want to do that.
Yeah. That gives you a free pass.
I said, then don't get upset about this.
What about the Oscar lovers?
He said, okay, I'll be
lovers.
Better about it. And I was like,
how about the Oscar lovers out there? Why would we?
The OLs?
The people that, you know.
They get their full dose.
The Santaniacs?
Yes.
The Santaniacs that come in there. They get their full dose.
Yes.
Yeah. So the point I'm trying to make with all of it is that it was a surprisingly great.
Did he reach out to you or did you reach out to
him?
We
both kind of reached out to each other for different. Oh, the connective tissue is is my first agent, too. That not only did this guy was out of the business, ended up joining a country club where my first agent worked and then became friends with him.
The Colonel?
And knows him. But yeah, Colonel Tom Parker.
Colonel Tom Parker.
No, Doug. You've met Doug.
Yes, of course.
And Doug and this guy, and so we were telling Doug stories.
Of course.
And you can tell a lot of Doug stories. Mm. Doug was, how did I meet Doug? Doug was recommended by my first general manager, Alan Goodman, that knew John Riggins' agent and suggested that I use the same agent that's John Riggins, and that was Doug Wallace. And hi, Doug, if you're listening. Love you. And Doug was supposed to come up. He lives down in the Keys.
He's
and
well?
And he was, I don't know. I haven't seen Doug. We left a picture for him. Dave tried to call him. He didn't answer. But hopefully, he's a little older than me. So, you know, it's.
If he had answered, he would have sent a bill.
I'm not sure whether, you know.
He was out.
He was out doing what he usually does, you know.
Pigeonhole!
That sounded good. That sounded good.
Pigeonhole!
That's better. There you go.
There you go. Got lots of different sounds.
Oh, new, yes. La la.
Hopefully, Doug's not there.
Anywho,
he could be at church.
It could be a church.
That's right. Not just in the great.
It was fun. It was just super, super fun. And the stories are, this is what I want to tell Oscar. Dave said one thing to me yesterday. I want to see if I get it right. You're going to love this. Yep. You're going to love this. It's going to be, Dave said, you're mellower than you used to be.
Oh, so true.
That's good.
Yeah.
He said to me, and he was referring to kind of on the golf course, but maybe everywhere else, you know.
In real life as well?
Chill. Yeah, it was just kind of chill. It was a chill afternoon. I'm a chill guy when I do that
most
of the time.
Oh, he's a chill guy.
And I am a chill guy. I am.
You're not as prickly as you used to be.
Known to be a chill guy. That's right.
So that's what he said.
Remember,
to me.
I met someone at a separate just dinner.
Random.
And someone said, is he still as prickly as he used to be?
Less prickly, more mellow.
I said his
you
son.
You know
is,
my history. Wouldn't you have been a little prickly too, though, with what I grew up with?
I think
when I cut my radio teeth with my environment, you know, do you think I'm asking you this? And I'm asking
We've already sacrificed our stomachs.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you this.
This gentleman met you your second marriage, early days of your second marriage.
No, this guy goes back to my first marriage.
Oh, first marriage.
No, but Oscar's talking marriage. About the guy he met.
Well, this is what I'm
but
saying.
But there were, yeah. this was not, 40 years and no contact. This was periodic contact during the Doug years as well.
Okay. So this first guy, was this pre-Don and Mike?
Mm-mm. It was pre-Don and Mike that I met him.
Okay.
And then throughout, you know, occasional get-togethers.
Was he referring to your more mellow because you've always been intense?
I don't know what he was referring to, but it was an interesting observation due to the lack of, due to the amount of time between reunions with this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was an interesting observation. I didn't really dive into it. It was maybe referred to. I don't think we played a lot of golf together.
You know, maybe
it might
it's
have been
like
referred to on the golf course. But
maybe it's like when someone only sees your kids every couple of years. You don't really see your kids growing up because you see them every day.
If he knew Mike through the Don and Mike days, I mean, that's.
But when you see Mike every two or 3 years, I mean, you know, steps have been made.
They don't have to be made though. People can say the same.
Yeah, but I think he has. I think he's mellower.
Mike is mellower. But I guess the root of it, has he always been this wound tight prior to the Don and Mike? That's where I think this is fascinating.
Oh, okay. All right. So that's
that is
what
a good point.
Okay.
Yeah.
No. I don't think so. But
what was that word again?
I have issues going back to my family and all that, so there might be a little of that. But you can't be, when you have a successful radio career, when you're successful in that, and that level of stress has entered into your life, I think that's got to contribute
prior
to degree.
Success.
You're mentioning whether I was, I don't think I was wound tight in my early years.
Like your
as
AU
much as
years?
I was during the, during the mid 80s to early 2000s. I think that was the prickly stage. in my humble opinion. Not that I'm blaming anyone else.
No, not at all.
Yeah, you're taking full accountability here.
I'm not really.
So go back to when you were wearing the WOH and Good Guy jacket. Were you
wore it.
Oh, you
Dave
never
was
did.
Was the last guy to wear. Okay. I was a weekender, and I remember going to a remote that they were doing, and they had the jacket on. He had the jacket on. And it was, I always remembered it being funny. It was like a Kmart or something.
Yeah,
like that.
They can't have been good.
And it was, but getting back to it, I think that there was an anger in me that was nurtured. That's how I would describe it. So the fact that, but the comment
the
about
dark
prickly
side of
was,
the force?
The dark side
you
of the
chose.
Force. I think the prickly would have been Oscar a developed. The guy you met knew me back in the Donna Mike show days.
Yeah, right? in the early days when you I imagine you were famous. When did you become? When did you feel famous? What age? For radio,
we hit extremely early during the mid '80s.
What age were you?
86.
I would have to say. Well, no, you weren't 86. It was 1986.
1986. I was in my 20s.
Mm-hmm. Mid 20s.
27.
Oh.
27, 28.
Man, can you imagine the ego on someone when you're like? When radio's still relevant,
oh, it's huge.
It's like you're the. Oh, I can't believe you're not crazier.
Sometimes
like you
I
should
actually,
be crazier.
Sometimes I wonder if how much fun it would be for cities all over America if radio was the way it used to be, where you could get a powerhouse station that was, you know, the advertising generator that ours was back in the day. I just wish that still exists because you would have individual radio stations. It would be so much fun. And that doesn't exist anymore from an advertising standpoint.
I mean, you
so
really
they can't
did
do what they used to do.
You That's were right. the source of water cooler talk. I mean, like what people talk about, like television now. Yeah. There was radio. Everyone listened. Everybody.
I think we would all have a prickly fact. Maybe not Rob. He's too sweet.
Rob's too kind
I would
a
be.
Person. Mm. The idea of when you talk about national fame for a guy in their 20s, you're talking about professional athletes primarily. Yeah. And don't they bring these guys out of college now and don't like say I use the NFL as the right. gold standard example of that. Don't they sit people down?
They have a full
these
full
college
school.
Guys that come yeah. in and say, listen, this is the way you're yeah. going to have to yeah. handle it. Mm-hmm. This is the way it's almost like psychological training.
Yes.
Because the idea of throwing that kind of fame at somebody who's young yeah. and there's stories about it. You see all the biopics about lives. It's it completely and totally messes you up. It messes a child star up.
Oh
even
yeah,
more if somebody mm-hmm. is extremely famous at a young age. Not everybody. Some people come out on the other side. Have amazing will and character to come out on the other side. But a lot of them get really messed up by that because of the fame. I mean, it's yeah. It's strange.
So for every really, Adam really Rich, there's a Jason Bateman.
Absolutely. Who's been doing it forever.
Yeah,
right?
And he's great.
Knows the drill.
Fantastic.
John Stamos, another mm-hmm. good example.
Yeah. Exactly,
right?
Yeah.
Of a guy that's done
from the
done
youth.
Really, really
yeah.
well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I still can't wrap my head, digressing for a second, I can't wrap my head around the, just the, I guess we're done with it now, the Bob Saget situation.
I know.
You hear about that. Just, it must have been a phenomenally traumatic head injury, falling into whatever he hit his head on,
yeah.
to be so disoriented and then just have yeah. a brain bleed like that. What an amazingly fluky, freaky accident yeah. that had to be. They're saying that, you know, when you're talking about brain skull fracturing, that is normally involved in an automobile accident.
It's horrifying right? when you think of how many comedians of his age, younger, even older, that travel solo. Do the yeah. same. They do the same routine in every city,
right?
And they're alone. And if yep. you have to wonder if you hit your head hard enough to be disoriented, how would you handle it? Yep. I don't know how yeah. I'd handle
he's,
it.
He's,
I guess I'd be more
out.
Aware of it now. Look, but yeah,
right. You know, if you don't joke, you cry, right?
Sure.
You
right.
get too sick. I feel like he's our modern day Mama Cass. Like, who died of a ham sandwich? Like, who thought about that then? Right. But.
Yeah, but you know, it's other than the comedy musical nature of it. I'm trying to think as our modern day Mama Cass. I know.
I
what
think
it
today
is
a victory.
Brought it up to bring up Mama
Cass. It's a victory that Oscar referenced Mama Cass. I think that's
yes,
nice.
It is.
I mean,
yes,
it really
didn't
is.
She die from choking on a ham sandwich?
She choked. I don't think it was necessarily a ham sandwich. I think there
might
was a ham sandwich
whatever
in there.
She had been eating.
There was a ham sandwich. I think the rumor goes there was a ham sandwich on the nightstand, and who doesn't have one? And then, but she did, she passed away.
Yeah, but it was such a fluky way to die.
Yeah, but I don't think the ham sandwich was directly involved.
Oh, how about you look it up? Because I was fascinated as a kid.
We went to bed early last night, 9:30, 10 o'clock at night.
No ham sandwich?
No, but I ate, we'll have a fat attack later in the show.
Mm-hmm.
I ate whatever I ingested, and I certainly will lay it out for you because there was one of those. I drank... I put my liquid IV in about 40 ounces of water. They say you can do it in 16
yes.
ounces. I put mine in 40 ounces of water, and it tastes great. I've got it right here.
Mike,
this is the size glass that I put it in.
This is how insurance companies are tripling down. And I hadn't thought about this because we get so much information during the day. You forget to write this S down.
Mm.
So I'm blessed enough to have regular life insurance, like term life insurance. And then I have a disability policy in place for me and my wife. And people are asking, what do you need disability insurance for? I don't know. My brother kept knocking down my door, so he doesn't have to take care of me in the future. So I have that now. Fine.
Aflac.
Yes.
Aflac.
No, different company, right? So
okay. She died in her sleep after a little bit of champagne. It was not a choking death.
There's no ham sandwich in there?
I believe
there is. What website is that?
This is OscarsAJerk.com.
Rob said that. She died in her sleep after too much champagne.
This is from allthatisinteresting.com.
I'm sure.
That is a purple shirt you're wearing today, right?
Dark blue.
So much better.
I get it as purple. It comes to me as purple.
It's a different, they're all purple then because the other one was a different shade of blue.
Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe that's the...
I'm going to Google Cass Elliott ham sandwich.
Yes.
So your point.
The guy, I get an email... because maybe he's got like a layer of entertainment professionals. And by the way, when you try to certify yourself as a podcaster to get disability insurance, it's extremely almost impossible. And then when you say you're CEO of a company, they're like, sure, come on through. Because I've been at this for almost 4 years and it finally came through.
Because of the length of time you've been doing this job.
Yes. No.
At Podville.
At Podville. They finally gave me something.
So
which
4 years
crazy.
At Podville, you get a little,
yeah,
a little more juice.
They're like, all right. There was an email that went out from his firm, huge firm, you know, national firm, and they're like, anything is possible. And they have the news of celebrities dying, like just accidentally.
Wow.
Of course. If you're anything selling someone accident or any type of insurance, you're like, look at Bob Saget.
Well, at your age, that's fine. Yeah. I think that I get it. I get that. And I think that it's very responsible. And I'm sure Shannon appreciates that.
I don't think she understands it. If she knew the ramifications of our policy, she'd probably kill me tomorrow.
Why? Why would she kill you?
To cash in the
policy.
There's
a massive upside for her.
Yeah, huh? Mm-hmm.
If you think she's happy today, happier tomorrow.
What's this at the top of the stairs? Whoa!
Hey,
oh my God.
You Santana-holics or maniacs. If something weird
happens.
Santaniacs.
If I die of a ham sandwich or a headboard injury, don't let the policy go. Be my advocate. Find out if she did it.
She would never do that. She loves you too much.
Unless,
you know,
of course,
I mean?
There's like double indemnity. Oscar was found on crutches behind a train. Nobody knows why. Nobody. Heart failure. No ham sandwich choke.
I can tell you one thing.
Sorry,
he will never, ever get in a car accident rushing to get to work. That's for sure.
No, I will not. Yeah. She's driving.
That's for absolute. All right. We'll take a break. We come back. We've got a homepage for you. Got a little fat attack. We've got a little homeowner news for you.
Yes.
That I'm fascinated to talk about. About, the modern renovation of a kitchen in today's economy. We'll be right back, everybody.
Hello, parishioners. It's me, Uncle Baby Billy Freeman. I want to thank all of you that have supported me by purchasing my Baby Billy's Health Elixir. Blessings to all of you. But I've recently discovered something that's even more potent, and it's my God-given duty to tell you about it. It's the Michael Mara Show on TikTok. Beautiful, funny, spiritually uplifting, bite-sized clips of your favorite podcast. Perfect for yourself and for sharing with the congregation of your life. It's based on ancient scriptures and heals colds, flus, strips, even COVIDs. Just search Tiki Talk for Michael Mara Show and follow us. Heal the spirit to heal the body. Michael Mara Show on TikTok. It's your salvation. Or my name isn't Walton Goggins. Baby Billy Freeman. Amen.
Thank you, Billy. Appreciate that. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Food that's fast doesn't have to be fast food. Freshly offers quality meals without the hard work. Their meals are designed by nutritionists, cooked by chefs, then delivered fresh to your door. Other meal deliveries need to be It's Monday. It's Monday. Other meal deliveries need to be prepped and cooked. But Freshly is ready to eat in 3 minutes or so. No one wants to spend an hour cooking dinner after a rough day at work or an infuriating commute, so skip the grocery shopping and dirty dishes. Your Freshly meals arrive cooked and fresh every week. Use the Freshly website or app to find meals that fit your lifestyle with plans that work for your dietary needs, preferences, tastes, and family size. And Oscar loves Freshly.
Yes. Someone says, how do you eat any type of meal with sustenance and joy without an oven? I say, look at my fridge. It's full of Freshlys.
It is an overworked microwave, ladies and gentlemen. Stop stressing about dinner. Right now, Freshly offering our listeners $40 off your first two orders. When you go to Freshly.com/TMOS, that's $40 off. Freshly.com/TMOS. And we thank you, Freshly.
From the four corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device, it's what you need to know. This is the homepage.
Yes, this is the homepage, ladies and gentlemen. And Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively are stepping up for refugees who are fleeing Ukraine in the wake of the Russian invasion. We already have a tremendous humanitarian crisis over there because of the horrors of war. And hats off to the people over there for doing an amazing job of resisting this invasion. Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds announced Saturday that they will match up to $1 million in donations to the United Nations Refugee Agency. Ryan said, quote, in 48 hours, countless Ukrainians were forced to flee their homes to neighboring countries. They need protection. When you donate, we'll match it up to $1 million, creating double the support. And Blake added, quote, the UN Refugee Agency is on the ground helping the 50,000-plus Ukrainians who had to flee their homes in less than 48 hours. They are providing life-saving aid and also working with neighboring countries to ensure protection for these families. Inspirational all across the board, from the president on down. And, I always knew, didn't we have a... I know I've watched television fiction where they've talked about, Russians are tough, Ukrainians are the toughest. I've always been aware of the Ukrainians.
They sort of have that reputation, right?
People, yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Just amazingly tough people. Klitschko, the boxer, who's gone back home to defend his country. The president, Zelensky, of Ukraine, who is the top target, according to reports. And he's picked up arms and he's doing it and he's trying to negotiate at the same time. Really, really stunning to watch the news coverage of this. It really is.
Well, it's a call to arms unlike anything we've ever seen in a European theater in the modern day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you see, just before I came in here, watching a news story of a bridge going into Kyiv, and they were blown to bits by the resistance. And the reporter got right up on top of this, great reporter for CNN. I'll try to get his name. He's right on the front lines. He's in the capital city. And he was going through and he said, and this is what we've been talking about with Soviet era equipment. I think we forget sometimes that, these are the people that had the toilet paper lines. These are the people that have cars that break down. These, not a lot has changed in that area for the people and for manufacturing. And you see that. I think they've got tremendous resources put towards their military. But when you see some of these vehicles that they took out, I don't think it was all that tough to take them out. Not that the Russians aren't capable of more death and destruction. But it's just interesting to watch that. So we'll see what happens with Ukraine. Very, very strange
world. Hoping for the best.
Yes.
Yeah, we are. According to a one-poll survey, out of 1,000 people, three-fourths of us, I don't buy this, plan on watching this year's Oscars.
What? This comes from ABC or whatever network has this. There's no way.
Is it truly accurate considering the low rating?
Oh. No.
Only 23% of the people surveyed called the awards overrated, which is actually surprising. Only 1 in 7, 14%, said they're disinterested. 56% even said they plan on watching as many nominated movies as they can beforehand. No. Do you buy it?
No.
No.
Not at all.
Not at all. This is propaganda.
I think it might be propaganda as well.
Yeah, they want to bring people on. I mean, there are other things going on right now that people are worried about other than the movies.
And I'm a movie file.
I know you are.
I was that guy
that
tried to watch the movies. I'm not there anymore. I don't feel that way, and I was a big fan. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
Do you think there's a psychological attachment of, I just spent $70 taking my family to go see a movie. I hope it wins Best Picture. Because when you spend $20 at home, you're like, well, I just bought that on demand. But I'm talking for the movie-going audience.
So even different then, now because the effort that it used to be to go see a film. You would go. I remember The Revenant was the last one that I probably rooted for because I was so surprised by it in the theaters, and I thought it was such a cool movie, and it was the best CGI movie I'd ever seen. And I just was rooting for it, and that was the last. So what year was The Revenant out? 2017?
2017, yeah. I felt the same way with Gandhi.
Yeah, Gandhi. Turn your brother's microphone up. I'm having trouble hearing him, all right?
Me too.
I don't know if it's soft overall or whatever. So one of the only things I watched during the Olympics was snowboarding, not because I sought it out,
right,
but because it got a lot of TV time. And I watched this Olympic snowboarder, Chloe Kim. And I watched some other skiers, and I swear to God I noticed this, that the helmets that they were wearing for these alpine events, they would have little like curls of hair coming out of their helmets. Well, Olympic snowboarder Chloe Kim has some thoughts on hair coming out of the helmet. Apparently, there's a name for them. This is according to Chloe and not me, but they're called slut strands.
Oh.
Have you heard of this?
I'll let you. I won't tell you what that is.
Slut strands are when a woman has all of her hair pulled back, often in a ponytail, but leaves two strands hanging on either side of her face to kind of frame it. You're familiar with this?
Yeah, it's if you're on the mountain, it's hard to see if you're actually a girl or a boy sometimes when you have all that equipment on. So when you pull the strands out, you're like, I'm just letting you know that I'm a girl.
When I had long hair, I pulled them out, and nobody gave me any.
The sunnier Mother Nature days did when that. You had a. The phrase has been plaguing the snowboarding and skiing community since the 90s. It's been around.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Because female athletes often leave strands of hair outside their helmets. And I noticed it on this particular Olympics. They all had these little, and it was kind of.
Because it was in 4K.
Kind of interesting.
Yeah.
It was in 4K. Could be right. Could have watched some of it in 4K.
Maybe.
Although I'll tell you. Since the old Olympics have been gone, haven't been to that 104 channel.
Yeah, it's garbage.
It's a garbage can.
Tell me about it.
That's right. We'll get to you. You had some problems with DirecTV. Were you trying to 4K it? Is that what you're trying to do?
You know what? I'm like at 3.5K.
Don't tell the whole story. Just say yes or no.
Yes. I'm at 3.5K now.
In an interview with InStyle, Chloe Kim, who was a big success at the Olympics, she said, success. We need to change the name of slut strands to beauty strands.
That's
I'm all
fine.
For
yeah,
it.
It's fine.
Yeah, Chloe. Yeah.
The old name was even worse in the early 90s, which was hooker hair.
Hooker hair. She says she hates the term. Beauty strands make me feel beautiful. It's such a cute thing.
That's
and
nice.
She's such a cute girl with her gorgeous little dimples. Mm-hmm. I hope she gets her wish and they turn them
really
into
took
a beauty
gander, didn't you?
Yeah.
I mean, I watched her. I watched her and then I watched the interview with her and she's just a very, very.
I watched her on Google.
No, I didn't. Stop it. What's wrong with you today? Give me a break.
Today.
I was trying to make my living here. My meager You'll remember this time. You'll remember this next time you're trying to turn left on a busy road and then give up and turn right. I've been there.
Sure.
A recent study at Penn State found it might be better. Listen to this and hear it out before you comment. It might be better if we just made most of those left turns illegal. Researchers used a bunch of algorithms to figure out the best way to keep traffic moving and prevent accidents, and the simulations found that traffic would move smoother if we banned left turns at more intersections. I agree. Wholeheartedly.
But Penn State also said if someone does turn left and break the law, they should ignore it.
Also, you going back to Jerry Sandusky?
What about finding the cure for cancer? Enough of this garbage. Yeah. What are we studying in college?
You know what? You live down in the city, but he drives in this crap all the time. Yeah. And, you know, you said there was a traffic jam on M Street today.
I was pissed. And then Shannon's like, I guess everybody's coming back to work. I said, I guess so. Make a left. We gotta go detour.
Yeah. See? Maybe if you didn't have to make that left because it was illegal. Well, it depends on the city you're in, the story says. Yeah. And the flow of traffic. But in general, the most efficient setups ban left turns near the middle of metropolitan areas and only allow them as you get further away from the city center. And I think it makes a reasonable amount of sense to me. Who knows? But we'll see what happens. Down here, you know, how often do you see that left turn where you're waiting at an intersection? Sure. You're like, oh, my God, will it ever end? A woman from Maryland. It doesn't say what part of Maryland.
Barbara DeGrasse.
But it should be right in the middle of Baltimore with the name when I give you the name. Her name is Becky Bickman.
Hi, Becky.
She says she and her husband were having trouble with their toilet last week. There was a banging sound every time they flushed. Initially, they blamed it on the old house, but then they got so annoyed that they decided to plunge the heck out of it, as she says. We're going to plunge the heck out of that thing.
It's the Beckmans down on Lombard Street.
Becky Bickman plunging the heck out of it. That's when they pulled something out. Becky's iPhone.
Becky.
Becky's iPhone had been deeply lodged in the toilet for almost a decade.
Oh, my God.
10 years. Wonder how that looked. She said she lost the phone back on Halloween in 2012. a night that she says she may have been drinking.
May have.
In a post on Facebook, she said she thought it was mysterious that her phone vanished without a trace, but eventually she gave up looking for it and bought a new one. Well, that's nice. What, 2017? When did she do that?
When it first came out.
She included some photos of the old phone after they pulled it out. Ew.
I imagine the case was mostly gone.
It was obviously damaged. But at least, unless they cleaned it up before sharing the photos, it mostly looked like she dropped it. It actually looked okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if they did a deep clean, you know, with Becky's poo.
I know is that Mr. Beckman said, if you want that phone to work, put it in some rice.
Also, a commercial grade toilet, right? In a private home. Because how does an iPhone even get wedged in there?
I would think that, well, you know, I would think the weight of it and the shape of it would probably...
They were smaller. They were smaller then.
Yes. But not so small that it could go through the plumbing mechanism. You know?
No, no.
And
but
so
it
that's
could
why
get
it was gone.
Down there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it certainly would be experiencing every flush.
Yeah.
Bleck.
Robert was a big flusher of things down the toilet.
I remember this.
Yeah, so things could...
Oh, that's right. He used to put things in the
toilet,
right?
Yeah, lots of batteries. Lots of batteries.
Very,
always
very interesting. And now a little something, a 36-year-old man in Houston. His name, Andre Thomas. He went to a Dickie's barbecue pit.
Yum.
Located for takeout, and he left. A Dickie's barbecue pit. I'm so Monday today.
Yeah,
I can't read.
It's okay.
Andre Thomas went to a Dickie's barbecue pit location last month for takeout. He left, but then realized they shorted him on barbecue sauce. So he called to complain. The workers tried to resolve the issue, but Andre was not happy, so he went back, to the Dickies. He threatened the employees and said he was going to shoot up the place. Oh, boy. Andre went back to his car, waited around until the place closed and the employees were leaving. This is dangerous. He followed them and fired shots into their car. One worker was hit, and the shot actually broke their arm. That's not cool. Fortunately, it sounds like they'll be okay. No one else was hit. Andre was arrested and facing two charges of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon and burglary of habitation. Never heard that one before. He was a felon who was out on bond. So he's a bad... Naturally. You never know. You never know, right? Who you're going to F with right. in that situation. So he'll be held in jail at least until his next hearing in April. Andre said hitting the employees was an accident because his fingers were sticky. That was, I said that part right, at least. Hallelujah.
Mike, yeah. You can see his case recreated on NBC's Slaw and Order.
Slaw and Order. Yeah, barbecue joke. Barbecue joke. Hey, when we come back, we're going to talk to Oscar about his kitchen renovation. Very, very exciting. I'm on excited. The Mike O'Meara Show.
Hey, kids, where do you want to go for dinner?
Amato!
Now Jim Amato is going to, like, sell a veggie burger.
Amato burgers.
I love beef, but I'll take this.
You'll not believe the incredible Mike O'Meara burger.
This Amato veggie burger is fantastic.
Oh, God, these are good.
Welcome to Amato's, Pittsburgh's favorite burger.
It says 100% guaranteed, you moron.
At Amato's, we pack our burgers with top-quality cuts of beef and prepare everything with tender love and care.
Did they teach you that here?
Brad.
If you're hungry for laughs, why not try the Mike O'Meara Bonus Show? Supersize the fun with a yearly subscription at MikeO'MearaShow.com.
Yeah, don't just stare at it. Eat it.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show, brought to you by Rothy's Big News in Shoes. Everyone at TMOS loves their Rothy's. Oscar got the RS01 sneakers. I got the driving loafers, got two pairs of those. Rob has the Chelsea boots.
I'm wearing them today.
Oh, wonderful. I wish you could lift your leg up.
Pretty, right?
Beautiful. Wonderful. Yeah. Beautiful.
Can he lift his leg up? Are you able to lift your leg up?
Of course. Ta-da!
I love those.
All right, look
great. I really wanted you to do that because I love those shoes. Those are wonderful.
You just didn't think I could do it.
Yeah, well, I just...
Well, first of all, you look nice, Mike.
Thank you.
Aw, that's sweet.
Thank you.
And Rob, I see you're bringing Sexy back.
Back? It never left, baby. Thank you, Carla. You're very sweet.
Very kind.
You don't need to break them in. As soon as you put them on, they're soft, flexible material and amazing insoles. Make them the most wearable shoes you can own. They are incredibly versatile. Wear them with a suit, a pair of sweatpants, or anything in between. They're knit with 100% recycled materials. Very cool the way they make Rothy's.
Yep.
Even the sneaker laces are made from plastic water bottles. And if dirty sneakers are a pet peeve, rest easy. Rothy's are 100% machine washable. No wonder Rothy's men's shoes get a 5-star review from almost every customer. If you're still feeling skeptical about shoes made from recycled plastic, then try this on for size. Rothy's is doing something special. They gave us the chance to share this super rare opportunity with our listeners for a limited time. Right now, you can get $20 off your first purchase at Rothy's.com/TMOS. Head to Rothy's.com/TMOS to snag a pair of men's or women's shoes for yourself or someone else. That's Rothy's.com/TMOS. And thank you, Rothy's. So Oscar came in. We got Monday Oscar today, do we not, Rob?
Absolutely. 100%.
100% Monday Oscar. And Oscar, was it over the weekend you had your little
Saturday morning
foray into
8:30 a.m.
Okay,
great time to
when he's at his best.
Well, I made the appointment. These people are busy,
of course.
My wife. This wife. Pro tip for you gentlemen that are married and still have some sort of power in the dynamics of the marriage, may lead to divorce. But I said to my wife on Friday night, I said, "Hey, you're gonna have to wake up early and get this place straightened up a little bit because we have this lady coming." And she said, "Well, why do I have to do it?" I said, "Because I'll be signing the checks to make this all happen for you." So, you know, small price to pay.
An argument that would not work in my home, but that's okay. I mean, that's that's terrific.
And does it really work in anyone's home, really?
It worked out in mine. As
did
she
it really?
Said. She said, "I'd rather just do it tonight." And I said, "All right." And I kept on watching Maisel.
See, I hate to do that. I don't want to digress.
Yes.
I really don't want to digress. I heard so many bad reviews about Maisel.
It's enough to put me off it a little bit.
I think a bunch of squares hate it. Too much nudity. They're like, "Oh, I can't believe Maisel's showing us some ass and you know, TNA." Oh, yeah. Not from Maisel, but the crew of cast of characters. You're going to love it, Mike.
Oh, yeah. Kevin Pollak.
There you go. That's all I need. All right. So, you 8:30, you got a meeting the next morning.
She comes in. Knock, knock, knock. I've showered. I washed. The last thing you want to do, Mike, is present yourself in a terrible way when you have a potential collaborator in your home, correct?
A collab.
Is that me or you playing that?
I'm playing it. It's the home improvement thing.
Sorry about that. Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
She comes in. She says, "Oh, this is going to be a total gut job, right?" Like,
oh.
All right, so right there, I'm throwing her out right there. Serious.
I'll give you a total.
I'm throwing
gut
her out
job.
Right there. I'm sorry. That is like this is the matter of fact way of I'm sorry to get upset. But you know what that is? Do you know what that is? That is literally walking out. Oh, so I guess this is going to be the most expensive possible option that I'm going to give you.
That's right.
Without even saying that. Total
We're
gut
just
job.
Asking about the kitchen, mind you, not the rest of the house.
This is,
can
you, know
you
this
describe,
is?
Can you describe the lady in question?
That's the best. Since we're talking about Maisel, just like Maisel's mother, right?
Okay.
Because I was going to go with the original Wall Street. The lady that sells him the apartment.
No.
Of course, I'm taking.
No, this is a mom. This is like almost grandma.
Do you get the impression that she's accustomed to dealing with Washington D.C. people?
Yes, people of means. Perhaps.
Yes, I wasn't going to say that, but yes.
So you know, I'm working
this
on.
This is going to be a total gut job.
Getting some home equity out. So there's not a budget. There's a budget, right?
Sure.
Like, I'm working with Cornerstone First Financial. God bless them. So I'm laying the groundwork, and mind you, this woman has taken care of my parents' kitchen. Like, that renovation's almost over, so I've seen the work.
That renovation's been going on for 2 years.
It's
but
been
that's
forever.
Good though. Yeah, but at least you've got numbers, and you have got contractors. You've seen. Are your parents happy with the work
they're,
that's
they're
been
pretty
done?
Pretty happy. Yes.
Pretty happy.
Oh, you know, I always complain about something.
I'm not so sure they can be happy.
It's beautiful. Yeah, the house looks completely different.
I want
completely
you to
different.
Sit in the well, bed that, until the dishwasher is hooked up.
So right there, I'm telling you, there's a history. That's smart. You know who you're dealing
That's
with.
That's why I invited her over, because I said, well, if this kitchen took forever, our home is going to take forever. I got to start laying the groundwork.
Right.
Okay. Just getting some numbers.
All right.
So she says gut job, and I feel the same way. But, you know, I live in a spite house. Like, who's gonna say otherwise?
So you're talking about coming in and going down to the studs.
Yes.
Which is, okay, God, you. A man who will never do a renovation.
There are some renovations.
Well, man who didn't buy a house is 200 years old.
Our square footage is 888 square feet, up like top floor and lower floor. So the bottom is 420. Some people's kitchens are that big, right? Yep.
You the way you have described your domicile, it sounds like you need to blow out the walls to a degree.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yes.
To have an open kind of apartment style floor space.
And I said, Miss, here are the plans that we've already paid for twice, because we had a lot to learn as we were trying to plan all this out over the years.
So you've had people come out and lay out what you should do to make that a functioning.
Correct.
Living
I'm
space.
Not asking her to envision what this could be. I've already been down this road multiple times. And by the way, it's easier and more affordable if you piecemeal it over 5 years. So you're fine.
And you are trying to get her to, you want her to come in and get the contractors and give you a bid on what the job is.
Correct.
Cost.
Right. Correct.
All right. Okay. What happens
so,
now?
So as soon as someone tells me a gut job, and then they remind me that everybody hates working in DC, and then they remind me.
Did
that,
she do that too?
Yes.
She's laying groundwork for big cash. That's
you know,
all she's doing.
A lot of my contractors hate parking in D.C. because it's just a bunch of. And my wife.
Have you dealt with her before?
Yes. But this is a common thread. Everybody that's come to our house basically spits in our face.
Oh, that's
and
that
then
sucks.
Spits in our face some more. And then they're like, what's your budget? And we say, we'll make it happen. And they're like, okay. Let me do this. I gotta call so and so at the office. So like they're set me up for the whole the big con, right? So
the long con.
My wife says about parking. We've been down this road before. We can get passes. We can tape up. We can ask the city to tape off the front of the house. Like there's a bunch of stuff, right? And she says, "Well, I hope you have someone to go because this is going to take some time if we do this." And I said, I'm looking for an estimate. And I understand things cost more. Like, no need to warn me about that. Like, I've seen what happened to my mom's house. Like, this is the price you get for waiting. It's the economy. And
is she? I mean, I know what you're saying. So she's pretty negative coming into this whole discussion.
I guess, is it too much for me to ask for someone like, we can get this done. It's going to all work out. Like, with vision.
No. Because there are, I'll give you a great example.
Yes.
All right. I got two guys. I really think that they're two guys that work for the air conditioning people that I deal with. All right. I got one guy comes out and it's bingo, bango, bingo. Your system's old. Got a few more years. Use it. You know, let's say get the most out of it. I said, I'm on the same page.
I remember this guy. Good
I get
guy,
the other guy. It says, well, you need new ductwork in the whole house. That's why it's blah, blah. And it's negative, 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 giving me detail that I don't give a flying F about. Having me get up three or four different times to go out and look at this and that and that. Don't do that to me.
Right.
Don't do that to me. I know my system's old. Let it happen. But it's the one guy that just is the salesman.
Yeah.
The second guy that's just pitch, pitch, pitch. And the other guy that all he does is fix my unit and he's on his way.
Yes.
Right.
We'll see you in 6 months. You got the negative nail. It's like, this sucks. This is hard. This is hard. This is why I can't do it. This is why. This is why. You know, get the, I hate that.
You have
I wouldn't
a good
deal with somebody that was just doing
you
that.
Actually read people very well.
Yes.
Are you reading her as she wants more money from you or she doesn't want the trouble of the job?
Because
it's not an easy job.
I'm desensitized to the trouble of the job.
Okay.
Because it's just
everybody's
going to give me that. That's
sure,
fine.
Sure, sure.
All right.
And she did a fantastic job dealing with my parents. Great. But I start looking at like maybe my parents, they're just like in their, with all due respect, 70s and 80s. They're like maybe they're not the good governor for this. To say.
Not the proper gauge.
I mean, I know that I have bid jobs in my many years on this planet, and if you come in with me at the negative, 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 you're not out of the gate.
Yeah.
I want some level of cooperation.
Right.
And not, you know, not trying
to. Why do I feel like I'm selling you on giving me a bid for this
a
job?
A certain can do,
You shouldn't be. Right?
No, you're the client.
Yeah.
Period. So, end of story. I'll call her. Give me your number.
Yeah. So we have, you know? We have like four other people, and then we're going to circle back to a handful of other contractors that we worked with in the past, because you have to get multiple bids, and some people are like backed up and they can't start working until, if I'm lucky, early 2023. And you're like,
let me offer this, since I was talking about my old agent who used to say that all the time. Let me offer this. Let me offer this to you. There's always a trade-off. Okay?
Yeah.
There's always a trade-off. Sometimes the trade-off is the personality of the individual.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the trade-off is the convenience factor, where you know,
smart.
You kind of throw away the nitty-gritty details. Mm-hmm. You ended up spending a lot more money, but you don't think about it, and then you get a nice product.
Yeah.
Sometimes the trade-off is it becomes a second job for you.
Yes.
Where
I don't
you're
want that.
Literally
that's
you don't want that.
That's
right.
You know? So it's all trade. So if you're talking about everybody that comes in gives you this.
Yeah.
This name. If she's over the top with it, whether she's a little more negative
this is where it got
about it.
Oh, if you don't mind me asking, like, what do you do for a living? And then,
she can go to hell.
I was like,
wow,
this is weird. It was
I look
so
at her
weird.
And go, oh, I'm glad you asked. I gold brick. Come right in. Yes. Yeah. Wow.
I didn't know that was part of the equation.
Ma'am, how about that? I would love, seriously, you do get a little more aware of how to deal with some of these people. Some people, when they get old, go in one direction. Other people go in the direction I'm in. I would say to her, okay, why don't you go back to your car, sit down, knock on my door again, and leave the greedy biatch in the car. What do you do for a living?
Hey, if
you
I
don't
may
mind
be
me,
so bold,
yeah,
if you don't
I would
mind
look,
me
you
asking,
look at her and say, yeah, I do mind you asking. I'm just trying to bid a job here, you know?
If you don't mind me asking, how much money is in your wallet right now?
Right.
Want to see
she
it.
Really asked that?
Yeah, it was funny, but it's different when...
What triggered that question is my question to you.
I think when I was guesstimating a budget for the remodel...
I thought it might have been when she was looking at like a Transformers model on the mantle. You know, what do you do for
now? My house it's actually sad. It's embarrassing. My house looks like a hoarder's. Like we're on the brink of hoarding, but we only have the normal amount of furniture and material that you would ever want.
Okay, all right. So, did you? And you, of course, because
I may
you
look
have
like
the,
I had just lost a job during the pandemic. Like that's how our house looks.
Like a hoarder that has the foresight to have an outside storage unit.
Yeah.
I keep my stuff off site.
And I know you have the sharing chip, so I'm sure you told her what you did for a living. You know, and then how did the date end?
The date ended by a lot of I have to ask. This is a big job. Let me clear that we have a license to do this in the city and out. So if I get ghosted, I won't be shocked.
Okay.
But
all right.
It was just, it's like, why waste your time?
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree.
And
I agree. And it leaves you feeling horrible, doesn't it? I mean, it really.
I don't feel like the hot chick. I'll tell you that. Much.
Yeah.
I hate people like that.
The worst.
Even if they're not going to do the gig, you know, have a little decorum. Yes. She's rude. She's rude.
I would rather them jump on Google Maps, see the house, and then see how thin and skinny it is.
And then call you and say, my daughter has a sore throat.
Yeah, just say, hey, cancel. Then I'm fine.
Yes.
Don't come and then break up with me on the date.
Depending on what you do for a living, this could be a total gut job.
That's funny. Oh, my God. Well, good luck.
Yeah,
I keep us posted on that one and the other ones. And I'm sure the plans that, like, if you ever get it done, it's going to be okay.
It's going to be beautiful. Right? Shannon was dismayed. And I went to Shannon and said, that wasn't too bad. She goes, that was horrible. And I said, that wasn't so bad. It was horrible.
I'd love to get her take on it one day. We'll take a break, and then we will come back with a...
Do you listen to podcasts? Do you like to hear virtual voices through the magic of electronic reproduction? How would you like to hear your voice on a podcast? Now you can. Just submit a promo to the Mike O'Mara Show. If you cut the mustard, you can rub audio shoulders with all the promo greats. James Amato, Paul Christine, even that guy. It's as easy as falling off a log. Just follow this simple procedure. 1. Select a TMOS topic that you want to promote and then record yourself promoting it. 2. Send your promo as an MP3 to rob@mikeomaraShow.com. And if it airs, you can be a star. Can fabulous wealth be far behind? You better hurry. We look forward to hearing from you. Here's to showbiz.
All right. After Here's that announcement, we need a mellower vibe. Listen, mellower vibes are just a drop or a toke away.
Mm-hmm.
Introducing Dadgrass to the Mike O'Mara Show listeners. Dadgrass will take you back to a time when music was on vinyl, Delta was an airline, and hipsters were a style of jeans. Sit back, light up, and chill out the old-fashioned way. Sweet dreams are made of CBD. Dadgrass, it's legal. It's organic, smokable hemp that relaxes your body and mellows your mind. Their 100% organic pre-rolled joints are very low in THC and high in CBD. So you can enjoy the effects of CBD while keeping a clear head. And if you want the toke without the smoke, Dadgrass also has a CBD tincture made with the same high-quality hemp. Rob, a tincture. What is a tincture?
It's essentially, it feels almost like an oil with a droplet, and you just put it under your tongue. Although, I didn't use the tincture on Saturday night.
Okay.
What did you use on Saturday night?
I visited the deck again.
Nice.
Oh, it's okay. Nice. Had a little joint?
You know what? It is. It makes you just so happy.
I
relaxed.
Love that. It's wonderful. It's easy to dose. And the effects... come on, smooth, chill out without getting stoned. It's
so
like having
I was
a glass
so
of wine.
Agreeable.
That's wonderful. You know, just have a glass of wine instead of the whole bottle. Whether you're looking for a new buzz or a chill way to enjoy the old favorite, Dadgrass will leave you in a euphoric mood. All Dadgrass products are federally legal for ages 18 and over, and it ships right to your door anywhere in the U.S. right now. Dadgrass is offering the TMOS listeners 20% off your first order when you go to dadgrass.com/TMOS. Go to dadgrass.com/TMOS for 20% off your first order. Remember, man, that's Dadgrass.
Dadgrass.com/TMOS.
I had to say it that way.
Love it.
I couldn't help myself. Okay, Fat Attack. Carla and I.
Fat Attack.
This is the point of no return. This is when we get a call from a mom that says one of Michael's friends wants to pick him up about 2, go to some festival, and have an overnight afterwards. We're going to have the whole night.
Was it Firefly?
Then it was Firefly. Fantastic. Some weird festival, and Michael's feeling a little under the weather, we cancel.
Okay.
I am not at all upset about it. I was not.
Oh, it's great when you can cancel.
Yeah, the best.
I didn't have any options with Carla. Normally, we would run to those date nights and stuff. We were both, it was a lot of week. We were both tired. The idea of not of having to sort of plan something was fine. And Michael staying home with us was perfectly fine as well. I text Carla when she lets me know that we're not going to have the overnight. I said, well, how about, and I give her my dive bar that we took Jimmy to with the wings and a couple of McUltras. That's it.
It's a nice date.
So it's just easy. It's fun. We take him.
Yeah.
You know, it's a dive. Nobody cares. That's perfect little Saturday. No problem at all. I got my reunion with my buddy the next day, so I'm perfectly good with this. However, Carla, who is, how do I say this gently, very open and honest with the fact that it is time for that bill to come due this month. If you know what I'm talking about.
What, is she wearing a t-shirt? I mean, what's she doing?
Thank you. Don't make me explain further. She's, it's that time. It's that time, and she's a little pre.
Gotcha.
And so she said, I'm about to get my, and I want, I'm just having weird food thoughts. So after we eat what I can equivalent bad food, the wings, you know, I equate that to, you know, that's a fat attack. In and of itself,
sure.
That's fatty, heavy
big meal.
Food. Big meal. Carla says, I just want to pick up something for dessert at the grocery store. So I said, well, why don't we go to the Fresh Market and just walk through their bakery section? Because I'm a fat guy, and if you suggest the idea.
He is the enabler.
I am the enabler. If you suggest like to me that I can have a fat attack and I can somehow direct it, and the trip to the Fresh Market idea is met with a tremendously enthusiastic response, and therefore we go to the Fresh Market, which is in my humble opinion your Whole Foods, very expensive place to do your regular grocery shopping, but for a fat attack, you know, not too shabby.
It's a one step up grocery store.
It's a one step up grocery store, and
it's not Publix.
It's not close.
No.
But you could certainly have a perfectly legitimate fat attack in a Publix, a Walmart, a Costco, or anywhere like this.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
this
yeah.
place, especially the baked goods section, it's elite. And it's very, very nice. And I am very excited because I am all in on the fat attack.
Right.
I am all in. What are you doing with your phone? What's going on? What's
I'm
over
just,
there?
I'm just letting Shannon know that the fat attack can be pastries at a grocery store. I was trying to do the same thing with Shannon. And she said, a fat attack is like something that you eat that you haven't eaten forever. Because I was trying to explain.
And you kind of throw caution
yes,
to the wind.
Yes, yeah. yes.
You kind of throw it
but
out.
But you can
the,
do it
window.
At a grocery store.
You well in
a,
fact
the magic if, is Mike, a fat attack can happen almost anywhere.
She thought the rules
but,
were you had to go like somewhere special
no,
or do something
no,
crazy.
No,
and, you can
in
fat
fact,
attack at a 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
No, you could do a damn fine fat attack at a 7-Eleven. I would venture to say a grocery store fat attack is maybe the best fat attack.
It is, because it also it gives you selection and also the ability to plan ahead.
Slightly.
What?
It's not, it's a, no, see, a fat attack at a restaurant would be, we've got carrot cake and a creme brulee or something like that, right? You know, a fat attack at a grocery store is everybody gets what they want.
Exactly.
And then he can share.
Oh.
With
you're, not limited, you're not limited to the molten
I
lava chocolate
about
cake.
That.
Yeah.
You get what you want.
Oh, a little, and maybe something you don't even think you want.
Oh, wow.
But it looks attractive,
it.
So
yes.
You put it in the cart. Let me tell you, we had the absolute mother of all fat attacks.
Mother.
On, first of all, we walk into the Fresh Market. Sitting there, what do you call those things? End caps or whatever?
Yeah, this end cap, yeah.
Rob, this is walk into the doors open and it's right there on the right. This is even bigger than an end cap. This is right there.
Special,
oh, it's like, it's almost like an island display.
It is a rolling freezer that is set up right when you come through the door, just chock-a-block with gelato.
Oh my God, the greatest. Yes.
So I said, well, but is it really the great? It wasn't really the greatest as it turned out.
Okay,
but
well.
It was gelato, but it was there. And I said, well, I like gelato. And
certainly
maybe they
gets
have my
the juices flowing.
I'm a fat enough person where I know I have a specific flavor of gelato that I go for, which is the stracciatella.
Which is what?
Strawberry? Wait, no, it's chocolate chip, basically.
Oh,
it's
yum.
Got chocolate infused. Mm. Pick up that. We haven't even gotten near. We're 10 miles away from the bakery
section.
Just
walked in the door.
No one's the whole family's not even in the store yet.
Not even the store. Go back. All right. So let me see if I've got the list. I'll get the ding out. So a pint of stracciatella gelato.
Mm-hmm.
Can't tell you the brand name. Then we get to the bakery section. I pick up they're called almond crispy cookies.
Nice.
It's like a chocolate chip cookie. It's got some kind of candy in it. And it's a chocolate bit infused with the almond flavor. Carla gets almond pillow cookies. My son at this point says, Dad, can we get these chocolate chip cookies? It's a slightly bigger box. I'm like, what the hell? So he gets. So right now it's the stracciatella, the two different kinds of almond cookies. At this point, Carla gets what are the cakes that are
a
like
wedding
in a
cake?
Roll? It's not a wedding cake. It's a
like
roll
a jelly
cake.
Roll,
a Swiss
it's
roll.
It's like a jelly roll cake, right?
Yeah.
No, it was chocolate with white icing.
Oh, then it's a Swiss roll. Pony had it right.
A Swiss roll.
Yeah.
Thank you, Pony. A Swiss roll.
It is
about
the most
half a Swiss roll.
It is the most neutral of all cakes.
It's
Swiss
very
roll.
Neutral. It's what Mrs. O'Mara
you can't
wanted.
Attack
she
it.
Wanted that.
Yeah.
Then, God damn it! You're gonna have to look this up. It's a Polish donut.
I know what you mean.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I saw it. I saw
it. It is like a sugar jelly donut, but it is filled with
O'Mara's
whipped cream.
Fat attacks are, I mean, you they're
spectacular.
Extreme.
Yeah, they're extreme. I don't know how much is left.
I thought you get like one. I thought you were going to walk in and say you got one. You each got one thing,
Mike. I think it's Pasky.
Pasky donuts. Pasky donuts. Let me say Pasky donuts. Oh,
the donut of my people, Oscar.
Gee, thanks to our friends, the Beckers. Who gave it? He brought one down. He brought it like half a dozen down for a housewarming gift when we first moved in. We've been addicted ever since. And I'm not a big one for the cream filled donuts, but these are a different animal. Then, let me see, Pasky donuts. I think that was it. Oh, and then I pick up one little, because it's not enough to have the donuts, the four different kinds of cookies, the Swiss roll, and the stracciatella. And on the way out of the bakery section, I pick up the French vanilla pound cake.
My God.
Oh, yum. I've been craving pound cake.
Yeah, but this is a weird fat attack.
No,
why
this
is it a weird fat attack?
This is
weird,
a perfect fat attack.
I think
attack.
I go back, maybe Shannon's right, that... Like I thought you guys were just going to walk in, grab a cheesecake, and then walk out, and that's what you would share.
That.
She went out of her mind, and I'm not the one. I'm not going to be the speed break on that. It's not going to happen. I'm going to be fully engaged with that.
Sure,
because this was a grocery shopping trip.
It was a grocery shopping trip.
A fat attack doesn't normally involve a cart. True.
Correct. That's what I'm saying.
But it's a good one. It's a good one.
This was not an attack. It was a strategic. You.
This was shock and awe.
Yeah, shock and awe.
Yeah. I wake up after we go to bed. We go to bed relatively early on Saturday night. I wake up at 2:30 in the morning doing this.
Oh, with water?
Out of my mind. Out of my mind. All of the fluid had been sucked out of my body with sugar and salt and fat and all that. And if I collapse today, you'll know it's the fat attack that I had. That's all.
I thought
that's
it was a good fat attack.
But you didn't tell us. Did you eat everything?
I ate the crispy almond cookie. I ate the pillows. The pillow cookies that were also almond. I ate the better part of the stracciatella pint. That was mine because that was my first pick. I had a couple of pieces of pound cake last night. Let me see. I did not touch the Swiss roll.
Attaboy.
Doesn't appeal to me. I have willpower. We'll be right back, everybody.
As far back as I could remember, I always wanted to be Mike O'Mara. To me, being Mike O'Mara was better than being President of the United States. He's not just a clown to amuse you. He's the capo de capi. He does accents, impressions, and he can even talk up records. His two trusted associates, Rob and Oscar, they're untouchable. And they're pretty good earners, too. Tune in to the live Mike O'Mara Show broadcast every weekday on Facebook Live. Or download it and listen on your own terms. Support these good fellas. Go to MichaelMaraShow.com and buy the bonus show, where I'm going to have to send Polly Christine after you. Arrivederci.
Thank you. Thank you, Ray. Ray Liotta. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Don't let the stress of daily life weigh on your body. Whether you're an elite athlete or someone like me just trying to be tension-free, Theragun can help. Theragun is the handheld percussive therapy device that releases your deepest muscle tension using depth, speed, and power. And it's as quiet as an electric toothbrush. The Gen 4 Theragun gets to the source of the pain by releasing tension using Theragun's signature percussive therapy, which goes 60% deeper than vibration alone. There is no substitute for the Theragun Gen 4. The OLED screen and design is amazing. It is built so beautifully. Theragun is trusted by 250 professional sports teams like Real Madrid and elite athletes like Paul George, DeAndre Hopkins, Maria Sharapova, plus hundreds of thousands of customers, and yours truly. I use it all the time, and you should too. Try Theragun for 30 days, starting at only $199. Go to therabody.com/TMOS now and get your Gen 4 Theragun today. That's therabody.com/TMOS. Remember, therabody.com/TMOS. Now, listen, I want a programming note here. I want to cover that show that both of you are watching, Inventing Anna.
Yes.
Which I just find so fascinating because it's based on a true story. Maybe we can get to that tomorrow. But for now, it's countdown.
What's that sound?
What a sound.
Did you hear that?
Make some noise.
Sound Town.
I give Saturday Night Live a lot of grief. I really do. And this week was a medium to okay episode. John Mulaney was the host. He joined the Five Timers Club, and he's a great host. I don't know that he should be making as much fun of his drug addiction as he has, but that's what he does.
That's where he lived.
However, their open this week was chilling. You know, they normally do a big opening, cold open, where they usually do something politically oriented. They opened with a New York-based Ukrainian choir, and it was just chilling because there's normally laughter or applause, but there wasn't this week.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Ukrainian chorus Dumka of New York.
They're all in native dress. And
yeah, I saw the clip. It was really, really moving. And, you know, that's such a powerful vehicle to get to the rest of the country and let everybody, remind everybody that, you know, while we're out dealing with our little problems in this country, that there are people that literally have their lives in danger and they're certainly their way of life destroyed, disrupted. It's an amazing story. You know, when you're the aggressor and leading up to the invasion, you hear the might of the Russian army and what they're doing, and then they run into Ukraine, and now, like so many conflicts, the United States has been involved in these conflicts as well, where, you know, be careful what you do, because it's never a walk in the park, and it's certainly not a walk in the park when you've got people with the constitutions of the Ukrainian people.
Yeah.
These people are astonishingly brave, and it's a great unknown now as far as that. It's scary when Vladimir Putin starts rattling the nuclear saber, but I think that shows you that he's up against something he might not have anticipated. So, you know, I watch it every day, but I feel for the Ukrainian people. When we came to airtime today on the show, they were, I think, in the middle of negotiations. They're not sure exactly what those negotiations will result in. They're not positive. They're not indicating that it's going to be necessarily a positive result.
Right.
But who knows? It's just amazing what they're going through. And I, I think a lot of people are with the Ukrainian people, and I say a prayer for them every day.
I don't say it often. Classy move, Saturday Night Live. Well
yeah,
played.
Yeah, good move. And a beautiful, those
beautiful
you think of those.
A beautiful
yeah,
thing.
Absolutely.
So, I applaud them. Meanwhile, in America, we're still idiots. On TikTok, I saw this over the weekend. This was trending a few days ago. People that are getting their springtime colds and stuff, they're making themselves NyQuil chicken.
Got sick last night, so I'm cooking up some NyQuil chicken. Usually I use about, 4/3 of the bottle. Season that NyQuil in there just at the right temperature. Oh, sometimes this steam really makes you sleepy. Woo! What you're looking for is that blue color right there. And boom, NyQuil chicken.
NyQuil chicken, Mike. It'll make you sleepy.
Right, hold on. I got tons of questions.
They're boiling chicken.
What are we listening?
They're boiling chicken in NyQuil to make it like some sort of really powerful chicken soup. I don't know. But it's... But I also like the fact that the guy says he uses 4/3 of a bottle. I'm pretty sure those ratios are off. I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know.
That's scary.
In Austintown, Ohio, you got to applaud the policeman who's fixing potholes with phone books.
We don't get 8 or 10 in one pothole within a 15.
He's talking about flat tire reports because of a pothole.
We don't get 8 or 10 in one pothole within a 15-minute period. I'm assuming people are coming down the street and they're all on their way to work and the pothole was deep. I mean, I end up finding it. I was able to put a phone book in it and put a cone in it just to alleviate a little bit of it for the time and help people change some tires.
See, a phone book is still useful in this modern age. You can use it to fix a pothole.
I'm confused. Hold on a second. You're talking about the traffic cone on top of the pothole with the phone book in it. So if you're going to put the phone book in it and then you're going to shove a traffic cone on top of it, you're really not doing anything.
Well, you're drawing attention to it so cars don't roll into it.
Yeah, and also the cop was sleepy because he had been eating NyQuil chicken.
But don't you think, I hate to belabor it, but right. Don't you think that if you're using a traffic cone, then people are noticing, what's the point of the phone book?
I guess
To raise so the traffic cone isn't just sticking out like a little... tip of the hat, like there's
to support the traffic cone.
It was pretty deep.
Thank you. You don't have a gnome, like a garden gnome sticking out.
And let us
sleep well at night.
Let us close, especially if you eat that chicken, Mike. Let's close with this. This is a great New York party. You know what they say? Only in New York, a guy comes out and his car is on top of another car because it is a sports car that had sort of a low front that had trouble parking, went under his car. And his car was actually on top of the other car. Here's the actual...
I'm sorry, but I hate to be the question man today.
No, that's fine.
So the guy just pulled under his car?
Yes.
Lost control of the car.
Lost control. Okay. And so this guy comes out, and his car is still there, not stolen, but on top of another car. He's surprised.
And when he come out from the house, I check if somebody hit my car. So when I go to the park, my car's in the top of the other car. Maybe my car take flight. I'm being confused. What happened? And I say, well, yo, what happened? I say, the car do it by himself. And I say, how? He say, I don't know.
Mike, only in New York.
Only in New York.
That's
baby.
All I got.
Now leaving SoundCloud. Please come again.
New York City, a melting pot, ladies and gentlemen. That's the way that goes. We didn't get to anything today.
No.
I did get a good fat attack. That's good. I'm glad I got that in there. And we did find out about Oscar's Kitchen.
Yes.
We'll come back and tidy up some of this business tomorrow on the Mike O'Mara Show. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, this is Mike O'Mara saying, be prickly, everyone. So long, everybody.
Be mellow.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
I'm a phony, just like you.
It's in the hole.
That didn't come out as good as I expected. My apologies. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody.